Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the first podcast of 2012, so I would like to wish everybody a Happy New Year. Hopefully your running goals are met this year, if you've set any new resolutions for the new year. Me personally, I do not set New Year's resolutions because I generally don't follow them. What I do over the course of the year is come up with ideas and then just follow them from that point on. I never really use the first day of a new year to decide what I'm going to do for that year, because things always change anyway. But anyway, I don't want to discourage you from making New Year's resolutions. Hopefully anything that you've decided to do this year will be successful. For me, I've got two huge goals that were, I didn't set them at the beginning of the year. I set them several weeks back, months back. February 4th, I've got a 50K Charlotte Ultra Run in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then I've got on March 10th, I will be hopefully at the starting line of the Race the Graveyard 100K in the Outer Banks, North Carolina. And that race starts at 4 p.m., so that'll be an overnighter. And I'm very excited about those two events. And I'm going to, later in the show, I am going to mention the Charlotte Ultra Run. I had a little bit of a surprise when I looked a little bit further into the website. A little bit disappointed about the way the race was set up, but I'm not gonna dwell on that too much. But I will mention it in the show, and just as a caution to anyone out there looking for a race, to fully study the race website to make sure you know what you're getting into when you sign up. And let's see, I'll talk a little bit about blister hangover, which is what I've got right now. I'll discuss that. I'm going to talk a little bit about my mileage, which is getting pretty high for me. I'm very close to 50 miles a week right now, and that's starting to take a little bit of a toll as my feet begin to break down. I have to address that. I'll talk a little bit about how I tricked my brain into getting through a 7-mile while it was pouring rain outside. I ran inside over at the YMCA. We have a nice new facility, and I switched back and forth from the track to the treadmill, and it went by really fast. I'll talk about that. I got some new shoes, and I guess we'll get to the email bag section of the show. I'm experimenting with a little bit of a new introduction to the podcast. Hopefully you like that. If you don't, I'll listen to comments on it. What had happened was I listened to a show for some other podcast at some point in time. I don't remember which one it was, and somebody had just made a comment about how some show introductions are too long, and I started thinking about, well, maybe my show introduction is a little bit too long. Maybe what I really want to do is just do a quick introduction and then get right into the heart of the show, and then maybe I can keep the podcast closer to 30 minutes, and then if I'm able to do that, then maybe I can get one out maybe every 10 to 12 days as opposed to one every other week, because I find that I have better material. Well, this is from my point of view. I don't know what the point of view is for the listener. Hopefully you like the show. But from my point of view, I seem to come up with things that I'm ready to talk about and produce a podcast a little bit more often than every other week. Sometimes the information gets a little bit old in my brain. So anyway, let's get into the heart of the show here. I could not get in the 5-miler on Christmas Day that I had hoped, so therefore I did not meet my goal of 50 miles for a week of Christmas. I was a little bit disappointed about that, but it was really just because we, as a family, we spent a lot of time with different people on Christmas Day, which was a Sunday. And we went down and spent a good part of the day with my mother-in-law, who has moved down here from the Richmond area. And we were down there a little bit longer than I had anticipated. And it was a real nice visit, no big deal. But when I got back, I was just way too disinterested in putting on, you know, running gear and getting out there and doing 5 miles. So I bagged that, but did it the next day, which was the 26th. And I got the 5 miles in on the 26th. But the problem is I use the Runner's World online training log just to add up my mileage, and because I keep track of shoe mileage on different pairs of shoes and whatnot. And I used to do it all in a chart in a notebook, and I found that I wasn't doing it as often. And so right now I've gotten in this habit of right when I come back, I just put it on the online log. But with that training cycle is a Monday through Sunday. So that 5 miles went to this week's run. So this was supposed to be a less mileage, but turns out I did 47. I was trying to get up to 50, but again, had a little bit of trouble with just time. Just didn't have the time. It takes so much time to put in that kind of mileage. I can't imagine these people that put in 70 miles a week. You know, I guess all they do is go to work and run. You know, I got other stuff I got to do. And I'm not knocking them, but believe me, it takes so much time. But anyway, let me talk a bit about Christmas Day, because it's a funny story about a Chinese restaurant. If you've ever seen the movie A Christmas Story, this is the one with that little boy, Ben Billingsley, or I can't remember what his first name is. But this is the little boy that has glasses that wants the BB gun for Christmas. And everybody says, oh, you can't get that, you'll shoot your eye out. Well, they have some neighbors that have dogs, and the dogs somehow get in the house and steal their turkey Christmas dinner. So they have to go to a Chinese restaurant for Christmas dinner. And I guess the joke is that's the only restaurant that's open on Christmas. So what we did is that's what we tried to do on Christmas Day. And the reason is Christmas Eve in my house, everybody comes over to my house. That's just been a tradition ever since I've been married. Extended family, everybody comes over. We have it's the kind of Italian thing, and seafood, lots of different types of seafood. So Christmas Day is, and over the years we would always go to my parents' house for Christmas dinner. This year being the first time we did not, because we just have some different dynamics this year. My brother wasn't here, my sister wasn't here, but my mother-in-law is now living here. So we spent most of Christmas Day and afternoon down at her place. She lives in the Richmond area now, and so everybody was just going to be on their own for, I guess, Christmas dinner. I mean, we do our Christmas dinners the night before on Christmas Eve. So we're we're driving back, and of course, this is where I bagged the 5 miler. I was just too tired, didn't want to get home and do the 5 miler. So we decided that we were going to pick up Chinese food on the way home and just laugh about that. And I don't think I've ever done that before. So we go to our local Chinese restaurant. We try to call them on the phone, because of course we got them on speed dial. I can't remember. My wife is usually the one that orders it, so I'm not really sure what the name of the place is, but it's pretty close to the house. They don't answer the phone, so we go by there, and there's a sign. This is on a Sunday. There's a sign in there that says open holiday, open normal hour. It's open normal hour on holiday, but they were closed because they're closed on Sunday, which I never really realized. So they had a sign that says they were open for the holiday, but they were normal hour, normal hour, but they were closed because their normal hours are closed on Sunday. So we didn't get Chinese food. I can't remember what we did. I don't even remember what we did. I don't think we went to another place. I think we might have eaten some leftovers from the night before, because we had some really good shrimp. Oh, it was really good. But anyway, that's kind of funny. I just wanted to pass that on. That's just something that was funny. I couldn't believe we were going to eat Chinese on Christmas Day, because we wanted to, because we'd already had plenty of Christmas-related food, and then the place we wanted to go was closed, even though the sign said it was open. So anyway, that was just kind of funny. All right, let me talk about, before I get to my mileage, which was 47 for this past week. What was it? I can't even remember. I'm just kind of losing myself. It was 45 for the week of 45.3 for the week of Christmas, 48 for this past week. And what I did is I threw that 5 miler that was supposed to be on Christmas Day into this past week, which was going to be lower mileage, but ended up being higher. And what happened was my feet, my right foot started breaking apart. And it might have had something to do with the fact that I got some new shoes, although I did break them in. But I'll get to that in just a minute. I want to talk a little bit about how I tricked my brain and got through a 7 miler before Christmas in the pouring rain. I don't have a problem with running in rain. It's when the wind is kind of blowing it where it'll hit your face. Because what I do is I wear a hat, and I've found that the hat usually blocks the wind in the front. or blocks the rain from hitting my eyes, and I'll wear sunglasses actually in the rain just to keep the rain from hitting in my eyes. But when the when it's so windy that the rain is blowing sideways, I usually will bag that and run inside, which is what I did during a 7-miler a week before Christmas. So I went to the YMCA because the Brock Center was closed. Now, I have the option. I actually have two gyms I can go to in Ashland. I can go to the Y, which is very nice, or I can go to the Randolph-Macon College Brock Center, which is just as nice as the Y. But the key with that is the track is larger. The indoor track is larger. It's one loop is a tenth of a mile, whereas at the Y, one loop is a 16th of a mile. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. The YMCA is a little weird about which direction they have their runners go in. And but anyway, the Brock Center was closed because of, you know, Christmas break. So I didn't go over there, and I didn't even try it. I knew they'd be closed because they have kids that run the desk there. So I went to the Y, and I was looking at the track, and my plan was to do 1 mile on the track, 1 mile on the treadmill, and switch back and forth, and that's what I did. However, the way that the they had the arrow going for the track was clockwise. Generally, on a track, you run counterclockwise. And so I'm not quite sure. I think that's right. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure why they have the maybe they switch it each day. I'm not sure. One day I went there where people were running in both directions. It was just crazy. And I talked about that. And I think that episode was wrong. It's called Wrong Way Running. I think that's a couple episodes back. But I found it was very hard to keep track of 16 laps. I would count them in eights, you know, do half mile, and I almost considered just doing 8 laps, then switching to the treadmill, doing half mile, and going back and forth. But then I thought I'd kind of lose track of how many miles I had done, even because the treadmills seem to be a little bit off. I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but the treadmills seem to be a little bit off of my watch time as opposed to running on the track, and you definitely run faster inside. So what I did is I just did 16 laps and then went to the treadmill, ran a mile, and then would go back to the track and do 16 loops and just count them in eights. And even then, you kind of lose track because you start thinking about other things. And so I was running with holding out fingers. I'd do one, I'd put out one finger, two. And it's amazing how quickly you do 16 loops without even thinking about it. So that was really weird, and I tell you, it's something to try. If you have to do more than 5 miles inside and you have access to an indoor track, it worked really well for me, and I'm always looking for that gimmick to kind of get through things and get stuff over with, because I was kind of dreading running 7 miles inside big time. But it went really fast, and you know, what can I say? I'm always looking for that. And you've heard me say before, if you listen to the podcast, that if you want to figure out a way to knock out 2 or 3 miles really fast, go out there, take a digital recorder, and talk to yourself for 20 to 30 minutes, and you'll definitely kill those miles really fast. All right, let me talk a little bit about the Charlotte Ultra Run, which is a 50K that I'm registered to run on February 4th. I emailed the race director, and I asked him a dumb question now that I know what the actual route is. So my question was really dumb. I emailed him and asked him if drop bags were allowed, because there was nothing on the website about drop bags. And when I looked at the map on the website, it appeared to me that the Charlotte Greenway, or the Mallard, I think it's called the Mallard Creek Greenway, it looked like it was a point-to-point race. And I might have even mentioned that in one of the podcasts about how excited I was about it being a point-to-point. Never even really studying that area to see how they could get, you know, 50K is 31 miles or so, how they could get that in the Charlotte area. I just figured the Greenway, you know, wound around. So I emailed, you know, because I want access to some of my gear, you know, at least halfway through that distance. So I emailed the race director and asked about drop bags, and he emailed me back and said, yes, they were allowed, but, you know, and didn't give me any other information. So I went, but he, part of the email says, go back to the website and you know, there will be updated information and whatnot. So I go back to the website and I study it more, and I look at there's nothing in the information about drop bags. So I look at the route a little bit better, and it turns out that it's an out and back times 5. And I just kind of got a little disappointed. And I should have known that from the very beginning, and I'm not knocking the race director or the race organizers whatsoever. I think having an ultra on a greenway paved asphalt route with no traffic is an excellent idea. I can't say that I wouldn't have signed up for the race if I had known it was out and back. It's just that all along I was thinking that it was a point-to-point, which are my absolute favorite types of courses. Not huge loops, but actual point-to-point for me is just, to me, I feel like those are the best types of running routes for races. So this is an out-and-back 5K out, 5K back, times, I guess, 6, right? No, times 5. And that makes sense because they have a 10K event also. And I don't know, I should have noticed that from the very beginning. I'm just kind of surprised I didn't. So I don't really need a drop bag. All I need is my gear bag, which I'll put right at the starting line. And it doesn't even look like that many people are signed up so far. Hopefully more people will. That's the Charlotte Ultra Run on February 4th. And the reason that race has appealed to me is because it falls on the exact day that my training plan recommends a 50K training run. The only problem I have with this particular race is that it's got a 6-hour cutoff, and I've never cleared 6 hours for a 50K. I've only done 3, and one of those was actually in an 8-hour racing event. And so I'll be definitely right there on the cutoff, probably in last place. It's very possible I could come in last place in this race. I've said that before in the podcast. Sometimes with some of these races I've entered, you know, it's very possible I could be the last person, and I never have been. But for this one, if there's a 6-hour cutoff and my best 50K time is 6 hours 26 minutes, it's very possible that I could be the last person. Hopefully that won't happen. So that's the Charlotte Ultra Run, and you can search for that in your favorite search engine. Just look up Charlotte Ultra Run if you want to find out more about that. That is a good cause for Knights of Columbus, so I'm actually looking forward to the overall event because it's very possible that I can meet Tim of Ultra Quest podcast the night before, and then the night of the race, I'm going to be hooking up with a friend of mine that I haven't seen since last year who lives in the Charlotte area, actually an old fraternity brother of mine from college, and be staying at his place and with my feet up on an ottoman, hopefully. All right, let's talk a little bit about the blister hangover situation I've got. I bought new ASICs, 2160s. After this last go-around, I decided that I was going to start buying 2 pairs of shoes at a time because I rotate them out each time, and I use Stuffits, which absorb all the odors and moisture, and it seems that the shoes last a lot longer and don't get that bad odor when I switch them out each day. And for this last go around before I swapped out, each pair of those shoes went almost to 500 miles each. So I've decided to do that. So I bought new ones. I like the ASICs, and it seems really silly, but they seem to work well for me. They last longer. I don't get any kind of knee pain. I got blisters for this last go around. But anyway, I put them on, and I got a red pair and a blue pair. That way I know, you know, which ones to wear, and I switch them out. And I broke in the red pair with a 5-miler, no problem. No blisters. They felt great. They actually felt better than my older pair. No trouble at all. Then the next day I did 7 and broke in the blue pair. And then, what did I do? Then I did an 18-miler. I think it was the 18-miler. I went back to the red pair, and for some reason, I developed a blister, but it wasn't really bad. It wasn't. It was on the bottom of my right foot. It wasn't anything that was debilitating or putting me out of service or anything. It's just that this bottom of the foot got kind of tender, and I could feel it when I was running. But it just seemed like, you know, new shoes. Sometimes that happens. And I'd already broken the shoes in with no problem, and I wasn't having any foot pain. But then the next day, I had to go out and do 8 or 10. See, I've already lost track. And then, so I went ahead and taped that blister so it wouldn't get any worse. But actually, in that process, I actually moved all the moisture up to the side of the foot, and the side of the foot blistered really puffy, and to the point where I had to drain it. And now it's really red. But I did run. I'm looking at it now. It looks like it's going to be okay. I ran on it the following day because I needed to get the mileage in, and I just greased it up real good with Vaseline, and that was no problem. I mean, that was fine. That's something I've done before. You just put a good old wallop of Vaseline on it, just so nothing will. If you, I look at it like this: if you've ever, if you're a parent, if you change diapers for your kids, remember how much stuff used to really, how much stuff used to put in there to keep that friction from building up any kind of rash. It's really the same thing. And with blistering, it's that deadly triangle of moisture, friction, and heat. And if you can get rid of one of those, you're not gonna blister. And what I did, I didn't have heat, and I didn't have I had all three of those. I needed to get rid of the friction, which is what I did. And it looks like it's going to heal up. So I'm taking, today is a Monday, January 2nd, so I'm taking today off from running. And what I might do is actually bag tomorrow's 6-miler, because this is a fallback week, which I'm really looking forward to. Because obviously, when I get up to the 50-mile mark, whether it's all in one day or it's over the course of a week, that's when I start to break. And I don't think it was the new shoes. I think it was just the mileage is the only thing I can think of, because my other foot is not blistering, and I don't know. That's why I call it the blister hangover, because it kind of went from one day to the next, and I can't get rid of it now, and it's kind of hanging around. And I think it's going to heal up okay, and I'm going to be able to resume, but I'm thinking about just maybe taking a day off, just, and not to make up the mileage later, because this is a fallback week, so it's just, it's recovery, and then let it heal up, and then jump back in next week, because I think next week is I think it's 50 plus miles. I can't remember what I've got to do next week, but it's a lot. I got another 24 miler coming up on one of these weekends. All right, let's get into the email bag section of the show. I heard from Dale, Dr. Smitty, Christina, David, Chris, and Snuggy Bear. Some of these were on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com, which I would encourage you to go check out if you want. You usually have some of the links to some of the stuff I've talked about on there, and I would definitely encourage you to go over there and take a look at that. So let's look at the email bag section of the show. I heard from Dale, and Dale had a great idea in reference to blinking lights, and he was referring to, I think it was the Eggnog Fog episode where I talked about the real cool blinky light that Christina sent to me. And what he recommended was, and he said an easy way to strap on one of those lights is to clip it to the headlamp strap and wear it in the back of the head. As long as it's not too heavy, it'll work. He says he's worn his like that for a few years now, and stay healthy and balanced for your 100K training. And what I said to Dale was, yeah, man, that I did that yesterday. But what I did is I pulled the strap out and then used little plastic clips and clipped it to the back strap of my headlamp, and in lieu of doing two straps over my head. So now I've got the headlamp in the front and I've got a blinking light in the back, and that's going to work out really good for some of these runs that are going to go past sundown. And so Christina, I'm using that's actually the light that you gave me. I really appreciate you sending it. So Dale, thanks for the tip, and that's actually going to be a great backup because I'm getting a new headlamp system. At least I asked for one for Christmas for my sister, and they were actually down this past weekend after it was for New Year's Eve. They were down, and she didn't bring it. Apparently, it got mailed to her house in Maryland, and she's going to mail it to me. This is that Diamond, I think it's called the Diamondback system, which is going to be my primary headlamp system. But then I'm going to need a backup one for my Ultra, because you never know. You know, what if your main headlamp system goes out? You need something to back you up for the backup. So, Dale, thanks for the tip, and I'm actually going to practice with that and try it out, and it's a great idea. I heard from Dr. Smitty, and he was congratulating me on the 50-mile week, which I actually didn't quite get to, Greg, but I appreciate that. Greg's he'll be training for the HAT 50K soon, which is in Maryland, and he sent me a link to the Seashore 50K race report, which I am going to talk about in the next show, Greg, because I'm going to run a little short this week. So I'm going to talk about your race report in the next show. That's a race report that Greg put on Daily Mile, which I'm going to share with everybody, because I think that's the third year he's run that race, and he's run it each year that it's been down there, and I ran it the first year with him. So thanks, Greg. I'll talk about that in the next show. I heard from Christina, and She was talking about in her email about how her blog is not as current as she would like it to be. I've talked about how it was. Now this is called the lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. So she's gonna try to get some more posts in there. Maybe we should check it out. And you are funny, Christina. You definitely stay in the game. So hopefully you get that blog going again. But she, in her email, she mentioned that she didn't know if it was the recording equipment. But apparently, yes, it is more sensitive. And what happens is, Christina, I have noticed that when I was editing the show and when I actually listened to it in my earbuds, it was kind of loud. I'm experimenting with the microphone. I don't know if my microphone is actually the external speakers or if it's somewhere on the laptop. But when I have my notebook here, which has my ideas for the show, whenever I seem to turn that page or move that around, it really seems to be loud in the show. And so I will turn it down some, and I'm working with it to try to see where the distortion is, and I appreciate that feedback. I just haven't figured it out yet, but I'm glad that you let me know about that. Okay, you're talking about the Night Eyes. That's what the device is called. That Christina sent to me. It was very kind of her to do that. Let's see. I already talked about Dr. Smitty's. I heard from David. We actually got the... I forgot about saying that on January 7th, we're doing a 10-miler here in Ashland, which is going to be a large group run with three water stops, and it's going to be a timed event. It's my friend Trish who's taking up marathon and is putting it together. I can't remember the name. It's a $10 donation. I really wish I could remember what the effort is for, but Dave said he's not going to be doing that. He's going down to Disney and doing the Disney marathon the same weekend. So David, this is Mechanicsville Dave, and this is the guy who let me run under his bid for the Richmond Marathon. So, Dave, hopefully you will be able to send a race report on that. I would really appreciate that if you're able to take the time to let us know how you did down there. Heard from Snuggy Bear on a website at ashlanddave.podbean.com, and he likes the new production. Nice to hear from you, Snuggy Bear. Hopefully you're still running, and we'll be able to get out there and do a group run one of these days real soon, I hope. Heard from Chris, and Chris is doing the... I can't remember the name of the 100K he's doing, but it's in February. It's down in Florida. And I'd asked him about what his longest run was going to be, because it looked like mine is going to be the 50K. It just doesn't seem like that's long enough for 100K. But ultra running is not the same as regular marathoning, where you don't need to run. Like, for marathons, you do a 20 or 22 miler as your longest run before the 26.2 event. With ultra running, you don't need to do just a couple miles shy of your distance to be ready. But it just seems to me that just doing half the distance as your longest run just doesn't seem to make sense, although you're doing a lot of more bulk mileage. But Chris said he's been doing a 40-miler for his own curiosity. He just wanted to build up the mental toughness, and he thinks 40 will do the trick. And so I think I might do something like that too, but I'm not quite sure. I just want to be ready, but I don't want to be overtrained or get hurt. And I know that I'll be hurting after the 50K. I'll need some recovery for that. So anyway, Chris, I appreciate the feedback, and I'll be very curious to... I can't remember what the race that you're doing. I should remember that. I just can't at the moment. And I actually was successful in having the Race the Graveyard, I think it was Race the Graveyard, added to the Marathon Maniacs race calendar to see if anybody else from Maniacs is doing that. It's the first time I've actually requested a race to be added to their calendar, and he did it right away. I need to actually update my Marathon Maniacs club status there. Okay, well, that's pretty much the show for this week. Keeping it right around 30 minutes, which was what I was hoping to do. And I don't know, if you feel like sending me some feedback on the new intro, let me know. I'd be interested in that. And I am working on some of the new the sound level. Like I said before, we got a new MacBook Pro, and it's a little bit different than the iBook, and the GarageBand software is a little bit different, so I'm still experimenting with it a little bit on trying to figure out the best male speech voice to put on the podcast. So if you have any comments about that, you can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And with that in mind, I also am interested in hearing about other people's endurance events, marathoning, half marathons, ultras. I'm just a regular middle of the pack, ordinary nobody. Haven't won a single thing in my whole life. But I get out there and trying to do, you know, extraordinary things and have a lot of fun doing it. I've met a lot of nice people. So email me what you're up to, ashlanddave@gmail.com. And sometimes it starts a good conversation, and we can definitely learn from each other. So this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.